Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of Deutschland Calcio. This weekend was full of excitement, especially since we finally got into the full-on start of the Bundesliga season. So first off, I'm going to be like jumping right in here and getting started off with one of the most prolific derbies. Besides your classicer, you have Union Berlin versus Hertha Berlin in a 3-1 bashing of Hertha. I was fortunate to watch this game because I have always wanted to watch a Berlin derby game. So what opportune way of to watch it than the first match of the season, which that's how it was scheduled. This match was pretty much Union Berlin base. I mean, obviously you had Hertha getting a goal back, but unfortunately the pressure that Union Berlin had put on them, it was just too great for them to be able to keep up. I mean, once Union Berlin got that first goal, you saw the floodgate of hell opening, and they were just came at them hot and furious. And it was just, and the pace of Union Berlin was just too aggressive. And obviously with the formation that they were playing with, it was very close and tight-knit. So it was very hard for Hertha to really get any momentum because their defense was so tightly close together that they were able to, like, counteract any advances Hertha would have tried to make. But, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less from Union Berlin, as they are the stronger Berlin side. But this one was just pretty much straightforward. It was just Hertha was hoping to at least get a goal back, or else it would have been a humiliating 3-0 loss. But at least they got something for a consolation goal, but it was too late. But I mean, just this one was pretty much straightforward that Union Berlin was the team that knew what they were doing, and they got the job done.
As far as obviously they lost, as I told you in the Bundesliga preview, they lost their top scorer last year, who had scored 20 goals, and then they lost their captain in January, who went to join Wolfsburg. They have a new striker up top. Just based on what you've seen from him, do you think he's got at least? He's got the touch to score enough goals for them to not tip in the opposite direction.
Are we talking about that player on Hertha?
No, Union Berlin. Their new striker up top who scored the first goal. Do you think he? I don't know how to explain it. Do you think he has the surplus requirements to pick the shooting boots up left by the two that left? And what did you think of him in the 90 minutes?
I mean, from what I've seen from him, he definitely has that potential. Obviously, right now, it's hard to really see a full picture since it is just that first game of the season. But, I mean, the more we see of him and the more he settles into the role of picking up those two boots that, of the players that left, I could kind of make a more advanced assessment. Oh boy, here we go again, not being able to talk. But I mean, he does have that potential, but obviously it's still too early to call. But if he continues this momentum and really focuses and knows where he needs to be at all times to find the back of the net, I would see without a shadow of a doubt him being able to fill that role successfully. What I saw from him in the 90th minute marks, absolutely beautiful. Found the back of the net with pure precision, and it was just a very well-planned touch. And I mean, I look forward to seeing what he can provide in the future.
So what I'm hearing is it was a good first impression. And again, it's very early in the season. A lot of stuff can happen. But you were impressed what you saw from him?
Yes, I am.
All right. This is basically what I expected. I didn't watch the full game. I just wanted to see the first portion of the game, just to see what we had up top with Union Berlin. Obviously, I saw enough to know what we're going to see from these two teams. I liked what I saw from Jordan up top, scoring the early goal, and then I think Union Berlin kind of took the game over pretty early in, just looked like they had, like, the thing with Union Berlin is they have a lot of other good pieces. So the only real question was whether or not they could convert in front of goal and whether they had a striker to do so. It seems like that question is somewhat answered. We'll have to see him a few more games, but I think you saw him get on the score sheet, and I think that's really important. On the other side of things, Union Berlin look Hertha Berlin looked terrible. They looked genuinely awful. They defended okay, with obviously Boyata having a good game or trying to have a good game. But they looked dreadful. I talked to Ryan pretty much after the games on Sunday, and our sort of thought process about Hertha Berlin is the same. It's sad because they have such a historic stadium. They're one of the oldest teams in Germany, and they're a traditional mainstay of Bundesliga football. But at the same time, you look at Hertha's side of things. I don't know how they're gonna get points this season. And I know there are some other teams that did not perform particularly well, but a lot of the promotion teams in the first games of the season, some of them looked pretty strong. And Hertha's best player is Luca Bacchio, who is a player that will be admired by others when he performs like he did. And I thought he was like the only bright spot of that entire team. And me and Ryan both agree that we don't think he'll be there in January. So I think, again, it's one game, and I don't want to overstate anything, but it does look like this is a team that's going to struggle to get points, and it could be historically bad, especially if they're going to get goals this season, and I don't see where they come from. You look at that game, they had, I don't know, two shots on goal. They scored one. Whatever case may be, but I just think Hertha Berlin are in huge trouble, and they got off to the wrong foot, and it's hard to imagine them not being able to do this, and I think they're really going to struggle with goals, I'm trying to figure out where the points are coming from. I'm sure they'll get some here and there, but it looks dreadful. On Union Berlin, it was light work. They got the three goals. They probably could have scored more if they really wanted to. So I'm not really surprised by the result, but the big takeaway is obviously number one, Jordan, the new striker, scores in his debut. They get goals from the midfield as well. And then on the other hand, Hertha Berlin's season started off poorly, as we know, but also doesn't look like a team that's going to be scoring many goals. And I think they're really going to struggle this upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of another person in the Bundesliga by the name of Jordan, we have Jordan Burkhardt not being a part of this match anymore because he got transferred.
No, he wasn't transferred. He just wasn't on the bench. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't because he left. He was just not. He was not there. That's all. That was the point. That's all. That's from the thing.
Okay. Yeah, Jordan Burkhardt was on the bench, but winning 2-1 against Bochum. Did you have a chance to watch this awesome match?
Of course I did. So I thought this was really interesting. I think Jordan might be injured. He wasn't on the bench for the game, and he didn't play. Again, this is one of the guys I'm looking for this season to have an exceptional campaign for this upcoming season. I think you're really going to see him blossom into that role when he gets an opportunity to start to make his not his debut, but to start on the right foot for Mainz this season. Really good game, bit end to end. Bochum scores a really great goal. To kind of get things back in, because Mainz has started this game really well. Onosi, I think is his name, scored the opener, and then Bochum kind of grow into the game. They get that goal back, and it's basically a, you know, it's a tough battle between two top teams, not top teams, but two teams that could go on to have a really good season. And there wasn't much in it for stretches. And then at other points, it looked really competitive. And then obviously, Mainz get that second goal, late in the second half. Obviously there was enough time for Bochum to kind of come back. I thought I liked the energy I saw from both of these teams. And, but I think Mainz, are highly expected to be a top 10 team that could potentially be in a European spot this season. And I think you look at the way they handled the game, I thought they did well. Their best player not available, they still managed to get squeeze out a tough victory. And obviously Bochum, I don't think you can say anything negative about their performance. They earned a point. They felt like they should probably got a point, because I thought they played quite well, especially in the second half. It actually, to me, it looked like Bochum was going to be the one to break through, but it turned out to be the other way. They can go home from that thinking that they played well, but obviously couldn't get the job done in the end, which is disappointing. And obviously Mainz with being able to win without Jordan Burkhardt in the lineup, I think is huge. And obviously, we all love some late drama, and a late goal in the second half with not much time remaining settles it. But again, I thought it was a tough match between two top teams, not top teams, but two teams on the rise.
I definitely would agree with you. Obviously you had Mainz literally getting that first goal, absolutely amazing work. And then Bochum come back and get that, their own goal. And then it was just pretty much back and forth. Like, seriously, we've seen matches where you can end up in a tight situation, but you're sitting there watching the teams, and you know a goal is going to come from one of them at some point. And it was Mainz who got that last-minute goal, and they took home the 3 points. But these teams are starting to prove that they are teams on the rise just based on that performance alone. I mean, they're not going to get anywhere near the success of some of these other clubs, but they are going to have potential to be some of the, I would say, upper to maybe mid-table teams that can definitely provide you like a whole entire game of nothing but excitement. I mean, obviously, as I continue to like watch these teams as I'm growing, it's going to be so much fun to see how these teams adapt to certain situations and how they just play against each opponent. Because I know there's some teams out there that are play a certain way against one team but play differently against another. And just the way I'm seeing these teams, I think from based on what I've seen as a pretty much a new follower of Bundesliga, I have noticed one thing.
What's that?
This is one of the more attackingly aggressive leagues out there. I mean, obviously, Serie A has had their seasons where you've seen like crazy amounts of goals, but this is a league that constantly gives them to you on a weekly basis, because I mean, it's what you would expect from Bundesliga every season. So I'm excited to kind of like see what happens.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit strange though, because this one particularly, obviously we know that Sebastian Polter went to Schalke, who was their top scorer last year. Their other top scorer from last year, from Bochum, went to Union Berlin, who played well on his debut as well over there. And then you look at a Mainz team that did not have their best player available. Still managed to get it done, but it was like it started very ambitiously driven, I guess, if that makes sense. And it was kind of cutthroat, back and forth. And then in the second half, I would say at the beginning of the second half, it dries out, and it goes from hyper excitement to kind of dull football from both teams. And again, it didn't last that long, but it was a good 10, 15 minutes. And then the game found its energy again. But there were stretches in this game where it became flat from both, which is you're going to see that, because obviously Bochum have their top two players from last season not there. And then obviously Mainz are playing without their best player. And I think they struggled to kind of find. And they lost one of their center backs as well, their captain from the last 5-6 years also gone. So they kind of had to find that balance, and it felt like two teams just kind of feeling each other out. And then obviously you get that great goal from Mainz in the end. But I do think Bochum in the second half, especially in late stretches, did look like the more aggressive team and looked like the team that was going to break through. I think Bochum should feel a little disappointed not to get the result, but I think it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It like dipped in and out, so it was like really exciting, and then it was a little dull, and then it became really exciting again, and then it was dull again and exciting. So it was sort of like a I don't know, going up and down the whole game. But and I think, you know, that was a strange game to watch just because you're seeing that aspect of it. But in the end, you get that late explosion at the end with both of the teams. Obviously, Mainz getting the goal, but they left Bochum enough time to get a second, and they really went for it at the end, but couldn't quite pull it off. But it was an exciting game. I don't think either team will be, I don't think Bochum should be super disappointed other than unable to win the game, because I think overall their performances from both sides were pretty balanced, but it was an unusual type of game. Especially in the second half.
Yeah. Oh, that's another good segue. You're basically opening up these two transitions. But in speaking of awesome second halves, how about the massacre Augsburg received against Freiburg? 4-0, man. Just give me your thoughts on this one. I mean, because you had were fortunate to watch this one, so just laugh at it.
Remember what I said. If someone fucks up in the Champions League race, Freiburg will be there to take it. So this is, I think, again, Augsburg were dog shit. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, they were fucking terrible. but if you look at the way Dortmund played this weekend, I mean, we watched that game together. We were not impressed with that. If you look at the game, the way Leipzig played together, again, I thought Leipzig did well, but not well enough. And obviously, they just brought in Timo Werner. That's going to be a huge deal for them. But those two teams did not play particularly well. And obviously, Leverkusen was on the losing end of the Dortmund thing. But I'm much more optimistic about Leverkusen's performance this week than the other two. Like, you cannot let this Freiburg team get an opportunity. You have those teams the other three teams in this thing. We know that they're more talented and they have probably a deeper squad. But they can't let a team like this get an opportunity to do so. And obviously, Dortmund-Freiburg on Friday is going to be a huge one. I think Freiburg has an opportunity to take Dortmund to the shed. But I think what you saw in that second half is, you know, Christian Streich, been there forever. He's been there in Bundesliga 2, Bundesliga 1. And he's been consistent there. He's been there since 2011. He's been an assistant there since 2007. He knows this infrastructure. And all I can say is from that second half, man, these guys aren't playing games, man. It was the most dominant performance of the weekend. And I would include that with what Bayern did to Frankfurt last Friday. Even though that was a great performance, and we talked about that already and what they were able to do in that match. But the way Freiburg just unleashed in that second half, because they had some big chances in the first half. And then the whole question about Freiburg's performance was, are they for real? Is last season just a fluke, or can they legitimately challenge these top teams for the Champions League? I'm going to say yes, because it wasn't just that they scored four. It was how quickly they scored most of their goals. You see, Michael Gregorisch, who played for Augsburg last year, scores on his debut. You see that incredible free kick from Vincenzo Grifo, the most disrespected Italian, netting one. And then you see Matthias Ginter getting into the action, scoring on his, I guess, second debut, because he returned to Freiburg after being there as a youngster. And then obviously they ended up getting another one and another one. So they actually scored five goals in the second half. Four of them were counted, and one of them was to call offsides. And you could argue that the goal that was called offsides should not have been called offsides, et cetera, et cetera. But for them to go to that point, and obviously they were struggling to get could get in the back of the net. They were dominating the game, but they couldn't really break through. And then second half, they just go crazy. And it's like, if you look, if you went to the bathroom, you'd miss one. That's how quickly the goals were flying in the back of the net. And Augsburg, to their credit, not to their credit, they played like they were awful. I thought the goalkeeper had to do too much, and I thought he minimized what it could have been. I think it could have been much worse than four. And I thought just the way they played from their depth that they showed, from the way that they shared the ball, the way they moved it, I thought it was an exceptional performance. I think Matthias Ginter is going to be a huge coup for them. And that center back partnership with him and Lionheart, I think, is going to be a one to watch this season in a bigger game. And I guess to really see what they're capable of, we'll have to see them play against a better team. But I thought it was just unbelievably consistent, and they were going for the throat with no apologies and went for it. And Augsburg just couldn't deal with what they were throwing forward.
I mean, this was like the first time I actually got to see Freiburg in all of their glory, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously it stated that, and it was true, that they had a bunch of amazing chances in that first half. I mean, you knew off the bat that Freiburg was going to be the more aggressive team. I mean, you could tell Augsburg were trying to get something going, but they were just so overpowered with what Freiburg was showing that day. And then, obviously, you knew it was only a matter of time before that first goal came from them. And, obviously, they came in the second half. And once that goal came, they were just pretty much going left to right and just finding the back of the net with pure precision. I mean, I'm looking at this team, I'm like, damn! I can't wait to see what they do against whether a mid to an upper table team, just to see if the whole, you said, meant it wasn't a fluke. Like, for me, obviously, I have a hard time saying it was a fluke last season, because, I mean, this is my first season, but with what you had mentioned, you're trying to see if it wasn't like a one-off situation. But I'm just excited to keep an eye on this team, because even though I love my boys at Mönchengladbach and they did a great job this weekend, even though they still struggle, but that's besides the point. But this is another team I'm definitely excited to see what they do, just based on that performance alone. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but yeah. I'm just going to say it. I think Bundesliga will become my favorite league in the next few weeks and months, the more I continue to watch it. So we'll see what happens on that one. But
by the way, I just want to say something real funny. So I changed my Instagram bio, because you know how all the Serie A, all of our Serie A friends always ask me questions about Bundesliga players. So I changed my info, not my name, but my profile information on Instagram to Serie A's Bundesliga expert. I just want to say one more thing about that. I think Friday night is going to be a big test, because they'll be at home. I believe they're going to be at home, so they won't have to deal with the Dortmund fans, and we know how crazy they were even in their fucking horrible performance. But if you see the what they did against Augsburg, I think Freiburg is going to be a big test, because Freiburg going to be at home. They're going to be against Dortmund. Dortmund, I think, obviously they didn't play that well this weekend. But being in front of their fans in a game like that, I think is huge. It's going to be under the lights. It's going to be a night game. And I think that's what we're really going to see. Again, if Freiburg loses to Dortmund, I don't think it's like the worst thing in the world. I wouldn't say it's anything reason to panic. But if they put a performance against Dortmund, I think they do have a potential to beat them. If Dortmund goes, obviously Dortmund played bad this weekend, and then they go to Freiburg and get swallowed, I think there's going to be warning signs for Dortmund. But if Freiburg don't get the job done or something, I think they can live with that, because Dortmund's a very, very talented team. But if Freiburg are able to go at home against Dortmund, win the game, I think it really shows their qualities. But I don't think I don't think it will hang into the balance whether they're a great team or not. I think they got a lot of things to potentially do this season. But I think that Friday game against Dortmund is going to be huge, and I'm really excited to see what they get up to in this game, because I think it's a huge tone setter for potentially a Champions League race. Because whether they make it or not, Freiburg will be pushing around that part of the table, just given their quality. And you look at the roster, you don't see any super big names. Other than Matthias Ginter is probably one that we all know. But outside of that, I think they have a well-balanced team. And I think we saw a little bit of what they can do against against Augsburg. But against Dortmund, we'll see a real taste of what this team can possibly do.
Yeah, okay. Now that you brought it up, I just feel like we should go into this match next.
All right, go ahead.
How lackluster was that Dortmund performance?
You go first. You go first. No, I'll just bounce off.
Okay. I mean, we both watched this match together, and we were just not impressed with what we saw from Dortmund. Obviously, he had Marco Ruiz doing what Marco Ruiz – I think I pronounced that right,
Royce. It's Marco Royce.
So we had Marco Royce doing what he does best in finding the back of the net. But, I mean, without the a strong scoring presence such as Erling Haaland, they literally struggled in this match, and it's kind of becoming more noticeable. It'll probably become more noticeable when the season progresses. But, I mean, they just weren't, like, I guess energetic, I think, would be the word I would use. Like, they were there for some of it, but they were flat, most of it. And it's just something you normally don't see from Dortmund. But, I mean, it maybe was because Erling Haaland was there, and there was just, like, that star presence there that kind of gave him that energy. But there was just no excitement, no, like, determination. Whereas on the reverse side of the coin, you had Leverkusen, who lost this match but should have won this match based on how many amazing chances they had. Obviously, the goalkeeper of Dortmund is amazing. And I mean, it was unbelievable the way he was saving all those chances, because literally Leverkusen was coming.
Yeah. The one on Schick, I started to interrupt. The one on Schick, the second one that was from point blank range. I don't know how I still, for the life of me, do not understand how he held on to that. Schick is blasting him straight on, right in front of the goal, with a huge amount of power. And, you know, you could say, oh, maybe Schick missed a chance. I don't see it that way. I think Gregory Kobel getting to hold on to that ball, being able to do that is amazing. By the way, he's also Swiss, along with your other boy. Just yeah. Want to put that in there.
Swiss boys, heart reacts only. But anyway, I mean, you just saw the tale of two sides. You saw one side that was completely flat, where the other one was just firing on all cylinders. I mean, the goalkeeper of Dortmund was the one who really kept them safe from losing, because the way that Leverkusen was attacking left, right, and center just showed that they wanted those points. But there goes the Dortmund goalkeeper becoming Handanovic was Batmanovic, where he was saving, like, everything. And, I mean, it's just sad to see that Dortmund has gotten into this state of affairs. Obviously, it's the first match of the season. Obviously, maybe that life comes back.
And remember, Sebastian Haller's out. So he was supposed to be the heir replacement for Haaland, and because of his medical issue. I get what you're saying with the whole Haaland. I think actually they're going to be better long-term without Haaland, just because they don't have the full team yet, and obviously their signing kind of set up that first goal with a little energy at the beginning of the game, and then had to go off. I think that's part of it. Obviously, Dortmund win the game, but as far as performance, they have to take the blame for it. But I think if Haller is there or somebody else, I think they're a much more ambitious side. They're in a desperate situation, basically, but still didn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a sad state of affairs, like, seeing that. happen to Dortmund. But like I said, maybe they'll turn around. And obviously, we all know Bayern left Lewandowski left to Barcelona, which apparently I don't think he's able to play because he's unregistered, right?
I don't know. I heard something that some of them will be able to be registered and some of them will be able to, but we'll have to see what happens with that whole thing.
But yeah, I mean, you saw how they were able to band together despite losing their main goal scorer. So hopefully they may have a certain situation where they come back from this and get that energy back. But just this match was not their day. So,
go ahead.
But I just think that just with the injury, seeing that one player come off, and then having Haaland and Haller, who was supposed to replace Haaland, just didn't, obviously with his medical condition, it's just an unfortunate situation. But I think once Haller is able to get that medical situation under control and finally get into the lineup, that thing will change. But right now, it's just going to be probably a just try to survive situation from Dortmund.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair to say they're to survive, but they do need to play. Again, they don't have a cupcake. I mean, they have a tough first couple games. Freiburg away is not going to, like we said, we saw what they did to Augsburg. That's going to be a difficult game. You know, you see Schlotterbeck, who is new in defense, come into that game as well, and as going back home basically, and that's going to be a tough one. I think they'll be fine going forward. They obviously, when Haller gets back, I think it's a whole different thing. We saw with the type of numbers he was putting up at Ajax, and when he was at Frankfurt before, he put up the numbers necessary and was a top player that prompted West Ham to spend all that money on him a couple of years ago. But so I think they're fine. I do think they're opting out of desperation. Obviously, they're signing Anthony Modeste from Cologne for, I don't know, $5 million. He is 34 years old. He did have 20 Bundesliga goals last season, but I think it's a bit of a risk. And obviously, I don't blame Anthony for making that move. There's one more big move in the Bundesliga before his career is over. But I think it's an awful lot of faith to put into somebody who's maybe got a couple of years left at the top. And yeah, they just came out flat. They were unenergetic. They were unenthusiastic. They looked good for about 5-10 minutes, and then the rest, it was just Leverkusen. And obviously Gregory Kobel coming up with a big save after big save after big save. I thought Leverkusen did a terrific job of getting checked the ball. Diaby looked dangerous on the left side, and I thought Frimpong at right back came up and was able to service the team as well. And I thought there wasn't anything wrong with Leverkusen's performance. Obviously, if you have a Florian Wirtz in the midfield, they probably are able to break through that. But obviously, Kobel was on a day. But you're right. Dortmund looked flat. They looked lethargic, unenergetic, and it's not the right mentality to have going into a game on Friday. That's going to be very tough. I thought not starting Julian Brandt kind of defeats the purpose of their entire team, because the entire team was being built around Julian Brandt, one of their best players. And obviously I thought Jude Bellingham did well in midfield, but I thought they needed that component, because without it, they looked dry in the midfield. They couldn't really create that many chances. And a lot of the shots they took were individual kind of breaking the seams to strike. They didn't do a good wall. Didn't really move the ball that efficiently. And I thought they were second best pretty much the entire time. And again, sometimes football can be defined by smallest of inches. They get that first early goal. The goalkeeper has a game of his life. Dortmund obviously win the game, but can't be pleased with their performance. I thought the manager got it wrong. I thought they didn't set up the right way. And I thought they were unfortunate with the whole injury at the beginning. But hopefully, Modeste, who's a capable goal, hold them over until Haller can return. But I do think it's a bit of a risky move, considering his age, as well as I know he's capable. I think we all know he's capable, but it's a little bit of a risky move. Dortmund may have got the points, but I don't think anybody in that locker room is remotely pleased with the way they played. Again, get the points, you know, I'll take it, but bad performance. And they'll need to be much better. You play like that against Freiburg away from home, you'll be taken to the shed, basically. So they need to play much better, but it was a bad opening performance for sure, despite the victory.
And speaking of being taken to the proverbial shed, how about Schalke getting destroyed by Adu Cologne?
I think destroyed is a little bit of an overstatement. Schalke obviously comes into this season with their first Bundesliga game in a couple of years. Obviously, they were only gone for a year. I thought it was really funny, though. The Cologne coach says he doesn't think of Schalke as a newly promoted side. They were just on loan. Schalke was just on loan in Bundesliga 2 for a season.
That.
Yeah, so Schalke's afternoon started very optimistically at the beginning. They got a goal in the first half. It looked like they had taken the lead, and after 1,000 hours on VAR, I think they decided it was not a goal. And then, obviously, from that point, they struggled. Cologne was kind of – the momentum was picking up, and then, obviously, Draxler does something stupid, gets sent off. And now you're playing 10 men against a Cologne team that's in Europe. So that's not good. And I know Anthony Modeste wasn't there for Cologne, but Cologne has a lot of good players. And eventually, I thought the way they moved the ball in this game was terrific and for so long. And then eventually, Luca Kilian breaks through to score at the Carnival. And then they get themselves another. I think either late first half or early. I think early second half. Again, another situation where they moved the ball really well. It was good communication from all angles, and then Schalke get that sort of okay. We're back in this now. When they hit off the free kick, I think it was put in by Poulter, and eventually the header going to the back post to minimize the deficit. But then in the end, Cologne just kind of riped up their momentum and scored a late goal, own goal, but not really goalkeeper's fault. I think the Schalke manager handled the game well, considering he was reduced to one man. I think there's reasons to be optimistic for the next week. Obviously, Jordan Larsson's coming in from Spartak Moscow as another striker option. I thought Sebastian Poulter did the best he could, considering the situation, but it just felt like a game where Schalke were excited to be there. They made that early mistake, and then they just overwhelmed by a Cologne team that was really playing extremely well. But, you know, an unsettling opening match of the season. Obviously, Ryan was super pissed after that one. I wanted Cologne to win. I wanted Schalke to put in a performance as well, but it just didn't happen. I thought they handled the situation as well as they could. But I think they were just overwhelmed in the end, and they don't get that 3 points to start their return to the Bundesliga, unfortunately. A little bit of a rude awakening, but I still think there's reasons to be optimistic going forward for them. And on the other side, I think Cologne have to love from their performance, the way they played, and really thinking that they could claim for a Europa League spot this season, at least the way they played. It's just one game. Nobody is nobody at this point, but I think there's plenty of optimism from both sides, even if Schalke did come up short. I don't think it was on their own. It was just sort of they were overwhelmed by a Bundesliga side that's legit, and I think that's really what was the separation. But obviously, Jordan Larsson comes in next week, and you'll see Poulter and Larsson together, and I think they'll be much more dangerous. And obviously, hopefully next week, they're not being reduced to 10 men after 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking of Bundesliga 2 teams that I think I remember even – didn't, like, this club called Hamburg or something get relegated, like, 3 seasons ago?
A long time ago. They're European champions in Bundesliga 2, and they're the anti-Schalke. They got relegated, and they handled themselves poorly. Other Bundesliga teams you probably would know is Arminia Bielefeld.
Oh, yeah, good old Arminia Bielefeld. I was hoping to say that this season because it's fun to say their name. Arminia Bielefeld.
I don't know who else got. I forgot who got. I think
Fortuna Firth and then Fortuna Dusseldorf.
There's a few other notable ones that down there. Darmstadt is a team. 1860 Munich is another team with some relevance. But yeah, anyway.
I'll have to look because for some reason certain Bundesliga two teams are coming in my head. I don't know why.
Well, the thing is with the way the league is set up, sometimes there's only two teams that go down. So it's kind of hard to remember sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, now back on the hang on, getting my thing back, brain back on the track. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I mean, you did make a valid point that it was just an unfortunate situation with Schalke. Obviously, they go down to 10 men in the first 20 minutes. So that just kind of puts you at the disadvantage off the bat. And then you have a Cologne side who's competing in Europe this season. So you're going to have them being the more aggressive side throughout the match. And it just was one of those situations where it showed in this matchup. Obviously, Schalke did try their best with the situation, but once they get that new player in and you kind of get that pairing like working on all cylinders, they will probably have a better chance. But obviously, yeah, right now it's a situation where right now everybody is a nobody until probably week 10 or 12 where you kind of get more of a bigger picture. But and then, of course, it's going to be even more fun seeing what happens during the World Cup, seeing if the players survive. Because you want to know what my brother's going to probably call this? Since the World Cup is in the middle of a season instead of during the summer. You want to know what he's going to call this?
What?
Extended international pray to God our players don't get hurt tournament. That's what he's probably going to call it because it's basically one long international break at this point. So, I mean, but we'll see what happens. But I do feel bad for Schalke, but obviously there's room for growth. And then, obviously, you have Cologne, who you would expect a performance like this. So we'll just see what happens.
But I think the interesting thing about Schalke for next week, and I do think they play a winnable game, I think – again, they played with one striker up top, and then they lost. They had to go down to 10 men. But I think potentially putting Sebastian Polter and Jordan Larson next to each other, that's an interesting avenue that they can explore because before the season is based on how many goals Sebastian Polter can score. But now you put him with someone who I think has two seasons with 15 plus goals in his bag. That's an interesting avenue that they can explore. We'll see what they do, but I would like to see those two play together at least in some way, either as a one or you put one out wide and put one in the middle, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's an interesting thing, at least from Schalke, where they don't have to feel bad about their performance just because, you know, they'll be much in a better position to perform well. And again, I don't want to play Cologne first game of the season. That's a tough one. That's like – I don't know. That's like one of the newly promoted teams in Serie A having to play Fiorentina first game out. That's a big ask. So I think next week they'll be in a much better place. I don't think they're going to be relegated, but they do need to get. They can't go winless their first three games. They need to get a point, some points here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, we have three more matches and then a couple other things, and we'll head out like,
we'll just head out. You don't need that.
Well, my son! But anyway, I'm just going to go jump into my boys, Mönchengladbach, winning 3-1 against Hoffenheim. This was a match where you can tell the missing of Rom had an effect on Hoffenheim.
I mean, it was fucking bad without him. Sorry, I don't mean to be cutting up, but they were terrible without him. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, I mean, with Rom out of the picture, they were struggling so bad. I mean, damn, I didn't know somebody could show up that bad without a missing player. Jesus Christ, take the wheel.
You know the funny part about the game? You know that funny part about the game, though, was it was David Rom. It's not David Rom, sorry. Kristaps Baumgartner in midfield trying to do anything to get the ball to their attacking players. And it's just, if you watch his facial body language, he was just so fucking frustrated. It was like every other play that didn't go his way, he was just like, oh, not this again. So I think, and I know David Rom is technically a right back, but he's a right back that joins the attack. And I think, he felt like he needed to do everything since he wasn't there, and obviously they do get that goal from in the beginning, but I think after that they just I don't know, it was a mess. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, like obviously you had mentioned, they got that first goal, but then once Mönchengladbach got their goal, I would like to use the term the wheels on the bus came falling off. I mean, it was just very difficult for them to get any equalizers and even get the 3 points in general, because Mönchengladbach was coming at them quick and aggressive, and which to me was really nice to see from them, because normally this is a team that, to quote your line, couldn't hit water even if they fell out of a boat. But there was a couple signs of concern with that, with their attack, with that certain situation. But first half, I mean,
mostly.
But firstly, yeah, exactly. But in the second half, they started becoming more consistent and more aggressive. And I mean, which I was surprised to kind of see that shift from the first to second half, just based on what we've seen from Mönchengladbach in the past. But maybe this could be the start of where we kind of see them get more aggressive, especially near the goal. And it kind of started showing in that second half where they were able to just tear poor Hoffenheim a new one. But, I mean, in general, this was definitely a good, solid starting performance for Mönchengladbach. Obviously, hopefully Rom will return soon, and maybe
Rom's never returning. He went to Leipzig, remember?
Oh wait, so many players from that. Sorry, remember. Sorry.
There's been a lot of movement the last couple days, but just hopefully they find a solution. Can I ask you? Hold on, before I can I ask you something about Gladbach real quick?
Of course.
So obviously, I think they looked pretty sharp second half. In front of goal, et cetera, et cetera. From your perspective, as far as do you think there still should be a level of concern about them, their ability to do that consistently? And are you at all worried at the prospect of how they didn't really convert in the first half?
I mean, for me, the first half, especially in the first match of the season, I really don't count most of the time, just because you're trying to get into the rhythm of getting started with the new season. But then usually in the second half with certain teams, unless you're Bayern, you kind of like see them finally flick the switch on. But in my opinion, I am actually still concerned with how they perform in front of goal, because yes, in the second half they had a decent performance, but are they going to be able to do this routinely? Especially the like harder matches. Yeah. It's just going to be one of those situations where I'm going to have to wait and see. But if they're able to finally capitalize and perform like this on a routine basis, then I won't become as worried. But in the meantime, until I see that consistency, I'm going to have a cause for concern, because usually we see teams perform red hot for several weeks and then revert back into old habits like down the stretch. So if they're able to do this routinely all the rest of the season, then my concern will kind of ease up a bit.
How many games would you need to see this level? Let's say second half. And again, Hoffenheim are terrible, so that needs to be taken into account too. But how many games do you need to see them perform in front of goal like this for it not to be prop? And I'm not talking goals. I'm talking about high quality shots on goal. Even before they scored the strike from Newhouse that just hit the top of the goal, I'm like, that's exactly what I see from them, because at least the chances are there. It's not like you're not like kicking them to the moon or anything like that. So how many games would you like to see them perform like this for this to be less of an issue?
I would have to say at least a good string of five, because usually five matches is a good amount for any team to kind of like, okay, if you're seeing this more routinely, you can finally say, okay, if they can keep up at least five matches, then maybe things aren't going to be as bad as they seem. But if they have struggled in the next match, then it goes back to square one. But like I said, for me, it has to be a string of at least five games, which is usually a good amount of games to kind of like see if they're able to hold on to that. But if not, it's going to be back to square one, and hopefully that doesn't end up being the case.
Yeah, I think you more or less covered it. Hoffenheim were really bad. I thought they had no threat on the left side and the right side. The way that Rahm obviously pushes up and puts the ball into space. They don't have someone who can give them the ball. And again, if you look at this Hoffenheim team, they got a lot of talent here. I'm speaking mostly Christoph Baumgartner. We know what he can do, but he played well. He just couldn't connect with everyone else because it was just frustration. But Jorginho Rüter, I thought, still played very well in this game despite not having that many chances to do anything. So if they can get something going on that left side and put in position for Rüter to do what he does, I think it's fixable. I do think it's fixable, but I didn't think it would be this bad to removing Rahm from that situation, because at the end of the day, he's not a striker. He's not a central midfielder. He's a right back, and you wouldn't think a right back could have that much influence over a team's performance, but obviously it showed to do that. And obviously Gladbach, first half they were basically passing the ball to the goalkeeper, but in the second half, much sharper, they get their goals and all right with the world, I guess. I did like the way their new coach handled the situation. I thought he did a good job controlling the game and all that. But obviously the big point is obviously Gladbach finding high quality shots in the second half, and obviously Hoffenheim being on an island without David Rahm.
And speaking of Rahm and his new team of Leipzig, Leipzig go 1-1 against Stuttgart.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any real reason for concern as far as them not getting the results. They should have done better. They should be disappointed. You know, Christopher Nkunku comes in, boom, just like that, and you think – oh, this is going to be just like last season. They're just going to start rolling. And obviously, Stuttgart, I mean, I think Leipzig, for the most part, dominated the game. I thought they defended really well. I thought the inclusion of David Rahm in the defensive areas was really good. I thought they controlled. But just like Dortmund, they played better than Dortmund, but they couldn't break down the goalkeeper. Florian Müller was making every save you possibly could imagine. And I would say he was probably one of the best performances individually this during the first season of the first week of the Bundesliga. And we saw so much from him in being able to track the ball. And obviously Silva's there, Olmo's there, and Nkunku, all of them tried to kind of shove it down his throat, but couldn't get on the end of it, which was unfortunate. Obviously on the Stuttgart side of things, Sasha Kalajic missing most of last season, sets up Amada, who puts it in the back of the net for his first ever goal, you know, and looked very controlling and very solid in the midfield, which they lost a lot of the midfield. So him being able to perform like that, I think, was a good sign of things to come. But Leipzig, I thought they did as well as they could have. I thought they played well. They just couldn't break down the Florian Müller, who was just like saving absolutely everything. They took a lot of different approaches, and they couldn't break it down. And I don't think this is like they should be disappointed, but I actually don't think they played that bad. I think they played very well. They were just they just met a goalkeeper that wasn't going to be denied on the day, other than the very early goal. So, all things in considered, I think Leipzig, this should not be a black mark on their season. This shouldn't affect them being the ones to push Bayern Munich. But unfortunately, it just didn't go their way in the ways it needed to. And obviously, things will change here. And I like the fact that they brought back Timo Werner, who's ready to go back to that God level he showed when he was in the Bundesliga last time. With this very team, I think they're going to put fill him right in, and I think they'll be a much bigger threat in as far as goals. And I think they're gonna be fine going forward. But on this particular night, day, whatever, the goalkeeping from Stuttgart was the big thing that killed them. They probably should have scored, but he was just on a level.
Wait, what? Now, yeah, so much movement. It's making
Timo Werner. Sorry, Timo Werner from Chelsea just signed for re-signed technically for Leipzig yesterday.
Good God, this is gonna make my head hurt. I mean, I'm like, wait, when did this happen? But yeah, I mean, it's just an unfortunate situation. I mean, it wasn't a bad match from Leipzig, but I mean, it was the goalkeeping from Stuttgart was the thing that really was the difference factor, because we know the intensity that a Leipzig team can bring. And then you had, so it's like, but obviously once Timo Werner is able to kind of get back into that team and really get reacclimated, and he'll definitely be the difference maker, in my opinion, because we've seen how Timo Werner was performing before he went to Chelsea,
and he was decent at Chelsea. He missed a whole bunch of chances, but there's still lots of moments from those two seasons that were high, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, but I mean, but when he was with Leipzig, he was just on a whole nother level. So hopefully getting acclimated back to the team, we see that from him again. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the main takeaway is that obviously it wasn't the fault of Leipzig, because they were giving it everything they had. It was just the goalkeeping from Stuttgart that really set this team apart. And obviously Stuttgart is one of the more mid-table teams, but they do have potential to. I'm thinking they may move.
They looked good. I'm not gonna lie. They look good as hell. They're gonna make me look like a fucking clown at the end of the season. It really looks like it's going in that direction.
I mean, I'm trying to remember. Where did you put them on your list?
19th. Because they were really bad last year, and I thought they missed the midfield. Was like, okay, how are you going to survive with no midfield? But then I didn't know this 20-year-old kid was going to be so good in his first game. And I thought, you know, they got a point. But on the attacking side of things, I thought Stuttgart did well too. Sasha Kalajic, I'm not sure. He might not be there at the end of the window. But if he is, yeah, this is going to be one of my big L's of my preseason predictions. Because even though Leipzig, you can make this about Leipzig and the goalkeeping, Stuttgart in general played very well at home against a great team, but still, I was very impressed with what they were able to do.
Oh, and speaking of Stuttgart, if they make you do this, I'm going to make sure you eat crow.
I'll eat crow. I don't care. I do it every year. I get something really wrong, but it's not as noticeable because I get a lot of things right.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see. And I believe we have one final match to touch base on. Your Bundesliga preference, Wolfsburg drawing 2-2 against Werder Bremen.
Speaking about another team that's going to make me look like an absolute fool. I mean, all right, so Wolfsburg, I thought they played well. They did get that equalizer in the end. They struck first. They looked strong on the ball. But again, it's classic fucking Wolfsburg. Score a goal first and then let the other team score twice within a couple minutes. I don't know what happened, but a Fulcrum, I think is his name, hit a rocket launcher out of his right foot into the top corner. No goalkeeper in the world is saving that.
And then somehow,
and then somehow They scored 2 minutes later, and then Werner Brennan looked so good. I mean, they weren't like amazing, but for a newly promoted side, they performed really well away from home. You know, not getting to start on the right foot, and I thought they played very well. I was so surprised at how well they played. I think they handled their situation really well against a good team, new coach, and Wolfsburg did play well, and that second goal was coming, and they eventually got it. But I think Werner Brennan can go into the situation and say, all right, I think that we have something here, because they did well, very well against a Wolfsburg team that has a lot of really good qualities. You know, shout out to obviously Matthias Schweinsteiger, our buddy from Bologna, formerly at Bologna, assists the first goal. I was really happy with that.
That was beautifully done.
Yeah, and Wolfsburg's top scorer from last season, Nechea, scores, which is good to get him going. I liked what they saw from the other attackers, and a little different looking Wolfsburg. I thought they did well, but again, it was just that short minute, 3 minutes where they kind of lost it, and then obviously in the end they do get a goal back at the very, very end to leave with a point, which I would say they're happy with, because it was looking like they weren't going to get any. But I think Werner Brennan just took me by surprise. Me and Ryan are constantly trashing this team. We call them the most irrelevant Bundesliga team in the world, just because, you know, nothing personal, but they don't bring a lot to the Bundesliga necessarily. The years they were there, they were just like, they just were there, but not noticeably there and stuff. But they took me by surprise. That first goal was a hugely such a great goal, and then obviously they struck again, and Wolfsburg collapses, but then they're able to pick themselves up and get back into it with the equalizer. But it was I wasn't very pleased with Wolfsburg's performance, but I thought they showed that sense of mentality at the end to get the goal, which I don't think they would have got last year. But again, I think the big takeaway is how good Brennan did look against a fairly good team.
Yeah, it was dark green versus light green, or as I'm now officially calling them, spinach green versus celery green, because that's what it looked like. But, I mean, I was watching this one, I think, after we had gotten off of the Dortmund versus Leverkusen match. I mean, you had Wolfsburg getting that goal early on, and then next thing you know, they're kind of taking the foot off the proverbial brake, and then you saw Werder Bremen just execute two perfect goals with pure precision, and you're like, what, like, Wolfsburg, where you at? And next thing you know, obviously, in the, like, close to the end of the match.
I think 7 minutes to the end or something like that. It was close.
Yeah, so obviously they get that goal back where they get a point. But, I mean, so for you guys, it's basically you score a goal early, and then you let the other team get two goals, and then eventually you hope to God that you get a goal back. For where me, it's trying to make sure we're able to hit the water.
Yep. Yeah, but in fairness to Wolfsburg, just in general, the Wolfsburg thing is that's just classic. It's play well, get in lead, and then watch the. But like I said, last year we would have lost that game. I think the fact that they at least got a goal back, I think is good. But I wasn't overly satisfied and rightfully so. But again, I love my boy from Bologna getting that assist. I was happy with that.
I mean, I saw that assist. That was from him. Oh.
I'm 9 million. Seriously? I mean, so stupid, Bologna. I know this is a Bundesliga show, but that's peanuts.
Wait, did somebody commit daylight robbery?
I mean, Bologna always do this, these stupid deals, though.
Yeah, that's classic Bologna.
Yeah, they always get good players, and then when they sell them for like a third of the price. But it's a good coup for Wolfsburg, who got him for 9. And I thought he played well in his first game. And I think this Wolfsburg team is going to improve again, new coach and everything, and new look team. But you know, I'm glad at least they got the point back in the end.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have a couple other things we're gonna go through. First, I'm gonna leave the one thing for last. But who is your player and donkey of the week?
Player of the week, I'm gonna go Florian Müller. I think against Leipzig again, Silva, Olmo, and Cuckoo, the way they were assaulting the goal, and he's still being able to save every last thing that came his direction. I think it's close between him and Kobo in the Dortmund game, but I thought he was perfection and just managed to get his hand on everything. I guess donkey of the week has to be Hertha Berlin, because I genuinely don't see 10 points from them. And I know I'm overreacting, but it does not look they can score. It looks like they can only score through one person, and I think that's going to be a big problem. And they, again, they're a founding member of the Bundesliga. They've been around, I think, one of the oldest teams, one of the oldest stadiums, et cetera, et cetera. Berlin was blue for so many years, and Union Berlin was in the second division. And since they come back, Berlin's basically turned red. So I think it's embarrassing.
My donkey of the week, I will agree for the same reasons, Hertha Berlin. I mean, they just could not get anything going. They were just way overpowered, and I feel like they're just going to go straight down. There's no question about it. My player of the week is the guy that we've been talking about like crazy, Musiala. I mean, just the way he was able to come up with those assists and finding and score two goals in, I don't remember how many minutes, but absolutely beautiful. And he's definitely one of those players that makes you like appreciate the beautiful game, just especially for being as young as he is. So I'm going with Musiala as my player of the week. And
I forgot about Frankfurt, man. They're also the donkey of the week too. although today only lost 2-0 to Real Madrid. Just saying. Much improved.
And speaking of players, we are going to do Elliot's player to watch.
For me, we're looking at a big game this week between Dortmund and between Freiburg. I'm going to give you two on this. I think a player to watch for Dortmund is Daniel Malen. I've been admiring him for many years. I thought he played well. One of the few people that played well in their first game. I think he needs to have a really good game for them to really right the wrongs of their first the first crappy win of the season. And then on the other thing for Freiburg, I think we're looking at Matthias Ginter. I think he's going to be defensively. He's going to be one to watch. Against a really good Dortmund team that just didn't put their best foot forward.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely be keeping my eyes peeled for those two players. And I'm excited. And obviously, Malen is one that I don't think I really remembered much, but I will definitely be making note of it. And that's the end of this episode. So we'll see you guys on the next one.